Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I am.
God bless you, everyone. Thank you for joining us on tonight, Matters of the Heart Singles Ministries, as we come forth, myself and our Pastor Ray Rose, who doesn't want to be called Pastor. I'm going to make that known. And you call me Maggie or Pastor Maggie, doesn't matter. We have on tonight's platform our very own pastors, Bernie and Teresia Burrows. And we want to welcome them to Matters of the Heart Singles Ministries, where they will be pouring wisdom into us on tonight about relationships. If you're preparing to get married, not everybody wants to be married, and that's great. To each his own. Well, just relationships as a whole. We all are in some type of relationship. So they're going to share with us tonight some words of wisdom and relationships as a whole. We have a couple of questions that they're going to answer as they feel led to do. I'm not even going to ask the questions. You guys can just flow with however you want to flow. But when you finish, I do have additional questions. I say, I'm going to get them while I can get them. Some other people did share some stuff with me in the inbox, so I'm going to ask those as well. So I didn't get a chance to send those to you because it just happened today. This afternoon. Okay. But yeah. So welcome everyone to our Facebook family. Welcome. Feel free to ask questions. That's what they're here for. And we're going to have some fun. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I will now I present to you our Pastor Bernie and Teresia Burrow.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Great pleasure to be here. We hope that we can say some things tonight, speak some words of encouragement and some direction in some people's lives tonight.
Mm-hmm. Definitely give some godly wisdom, because you know a lot of people want help in their relationship, but they don't want you to include God in it. But we know, according to Proverbs 3:5-6, you got to trust in the Lord all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So that's in every area of your life. So what we do, we give godly wisdom for dating and marriage, because that's the only way it's going to work. If you include God in it, God will make sure that that relationship succeeds if you follow his steps. Now, sometimes we put ourselves in relationships and we pick the wrong people, then we ask God to bless it. But no, you gotta start with God in the dating season, and God will take you straight to the marriage season, and it's going to work out the way that it's supposed to work out. You can't leave God out of any season of your life. Amen.
Yes, amen. And that's so true. And I think that's the key thing, is that we have to remember that, especially as Christians, you know, the world dates from a whole different perspective. But as Christians, and the sad part is, being a Christian, we learn how to date from the worldly perspective, because that's all we knew. So now we become a part of the body of Christ, and we learn the principles of what we are to do as Christians, that the dating process is totally different as opposed to when we were in the world. So now we have godly wisdom. We have the word of God that guides us in the area and what we should do when it comes to dating. So I'm sure you want to share that with us. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, she was talking about, because to me, so many people get caught up in, they're picking people that are not living according to the word of God. And that's how the dating gets all messed up, because you got one person going in one direction, one person going in the other direction, you're trying to live holy, but this person doesn't want anything to do with your God, but you try to drag that person along thinking that that person is going to change. And that definitely goes into that question that you had asked first about what does it mean to fall in love with potential? And, you know, so many people like, you know, I like this person and I feel that, you know, they have what I need, but they're not there right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hang with them and I'm going to ask God, you know, to bless us and ask God to change this person. But if the person doesn't want to change, they're not going to change. We all have a free will. So you have to pick somebody that's already going in the same direction that you're going in instead of trying to drag somebody to follow God like you are.
Most of the time you'll find out if you're living for God and you're trying to date somebody that's out in the world and try to accept that as a relationship, it's going to be a tug and a pull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one's going to try to pull you to go their way because you remember how it used to be, and you're going to try to pull them your new way now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tug and a pull,
right?
Because one is going to entice you more than the other one. That's all it's about, is enticing.
Right.
We have to stick to, we that are saved and living for God, we have to stick to what we are doing. We have to not allow the enemy to pull us back into the darkness, because that's what it's going to lead you into. Lead you back into heartache and pain. And a lot of people try to make excuses. Well, you know, we're saying, oh, it's okay. And the more you make excuses, the more and more you see yourself going to the other side.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, right. We always say, how come it's the person that's living for God is the one that always going to get pushed back? Instead of you bringing that person into God, that person takes you back into their lifestyle. That's why we cannot afford to be unequally yoked, because what it's going to do is going to stop you from going forward in the things of God. And that's first and foremost before any relationship that you have. God has to truly be first in your life. And then once God is truly first in your life, then you're ready to date, because you're not like, I need somebody. You know, during your single season, you have to really be sold out to God. And then God will show you when it's time for another person to come into your life. But until then, you need to be growing in God, working on your life purpose, and doing those things that are pleasing according to God, because it's easy to get caught up in loneliness. It's easy to get caught up in that needy place where you feel like you just need somebody. But when you're single and you sold out to God, you know, you're all about God and doing His will. Because I remember when I met Bernie, I was all into, you know, women's ministry and doing what God had called me to do. And God just kind of sent him along. Wasn't really looking for anybody, but God sent him along. Like, this is a man, you know, you can get to know better. You know, he just put us on the same path and pushed us forward to marriage and to where we are right now. So we give God the praise for that. But you definitely have to be sold out to God during your single season. Because if not, you're going to find yourself, you know, whether it's straddling the fence, you're going to be straddling the fence, so you're going to be looking for somebody to fill that void that you have in your life.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that leaving God out, you're going to have an emptiness in you. There's a void in your life without God. You'll find the more and more you fill that void with God, the less and less you're drawn into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has purposely made a spot in you just for Him. So without Him, yes, you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel all the other things, because you don't have enough of God. You don't have enough of His Spirit living inside of you. And see, our desires have to be toward the Father, because the Father knows what's best for us. He has our best interest at heart.
Amen.
So if we don't include Him in our mate searching, as we call it, we're going to end up with something else that we're not supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And with something else you don't supposed to have, you're going to end up with a heartbreak every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's real good. when we're talking about not being with potentials, what happened to the question? Falling in love with potential. So this question came about because me and Ray was having conversation, and we actually, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Acrimony, with Tyler Perry's movie Acrimony.
Oh yeah.
So that's where this question came in at. And we had a big, big discussion about this because, so not falling in love with potential, but what if you have, as a Christian, you've met another, as a woman, a Christian woman, and you met another Christian male. That person may not be to the level of what you desire. However, you both are Christians. How does that look when thinking about the movie Acrimony and how everything played out? Mm-hmm. Pretend that they are Christians. How would you see that happening? Like, how would you answer that? How would you help that couple?
You remember that movie?
I remember.
Yeah.
We have to remember some things. We have to remember some things about what we are called to do. Mm-hmm. It's true that some people might not be at the same level that you are, but you have to also watch as well as pray. Mm-hmm. Not to just go head over heels over looks and everything like that. They'll make it. They'll be okay. You have to watch them as well as pray. As we're traveling, we have to watch them. It's like the person that's not the same level as you, you have to hold them by the hand and bring them along. Mm-hmm. Okay, you might not want to do that. A person that is born again and a person that's been saved for a long time, they can come together. They can come together and have a relationship and let go enter into marriage if God has one said so. Mm-hmm. See, we leave God out of everything, but God wants to be involved with every step that we take. So if you, including God in your search, even with a saved person, that person might be good for a friend, but not good to be in a relationship.
Well, how would you help that person according to the movie that we saw on, whatever the name of it is. But I know with that movie, at first, he really didn't have anything, but he had dreams. And he definitely had some dreams and stuff. But I would help them out as far as a husband and wife, because did they get married? They did get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As a husband and wife, you definitely have to, you know, stick with each other because you made that vow to be there for better or for worse. So in coaching them, you know, I would definitely have to sit down with them and talk about, you know, we have to support each other. It's different between you having potential with a person that you're not married to. Mm-hmm. But when you're married to someone and, you know, they're trying to move, you definitely have to support them. Mm-hmm. You have to sit down and you have to talk about a few things and just be there for each other. And I know that movie you got me want to look at that movie again. But that movie says a whole lot, because though she had been there for him and then he ended up, and it was something else. But he needs to be talked to, and she needs to be talked to, on how we're doing this together, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mm-hmm. So we're doing this together. I'm doing this. This is for the both of us. And people have to realize that marriage is a team. You know, you can't do one thing outside of each other. What you're doing it together. You're building together. And when you make it, I make it. If one flat back, we both flat back. You know, one fall, we both fall, but we get back up together and we move forward. So definitely have to talk about togetherness and being on the same team and just making sure you have each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's real good. Yeah, that movie, it was a lot in that movie. And Ray, did you want to say?
Yeah, actually, I want to ask a question concerning going back with the movie. And one of the things you guys mentioned before, as I was listening to you, was talking about that connection. And I think what also has to take place is having the same type of vision. Okay. And I guess my question is, and how do you find that out, where that person have the same type of vision as a believer, okay, as a born-again believer, maybe whether you knew in Christ or whatever, but how do you find out what kind of things can you do to make sure that you have that kind of vision, the same similar vision, or better yet, they're not just giving you cookies and cream, so to speak.
Exactly. You definitely have to get to know each other, because a lot of people, when they find somebody, they move way too fast. Mm-hmm. So you have to definitely do a lot of talking and a lot of seeing, you know, just using your discernment and making sure that what they're saying is actually what they're doing. If they say they're a man or woman of God, then they should be showing some characteristics of God. Because you only can fake it for so long. You know, don't be jumping trying to marry somebody after 3 months. You got to make sure you go through some seasons with the person so that you can see just how that person is, and definitely include God and let God show you. He'll show you. He'll give you some red flags, but it's up to you if you want to listen to those red flags. But basically, open, just ask questions about, you know, what goals do you have? You know, what vision do you have? And just see, does what that person say line up with what they're actually doing?
You have to go about, I say, call it snail speed.
Mm-hmm.
Take a slow walk. Mm-hmm. Do not try to rush it. Don't try to rush to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Slow walk it, because the more and more you slow walk it, the more and more you're going to see.
Right.
And you're going to see some things that you didn't see in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to see what was supposed to be seen as far as a positive, or you're going to see the things that they didn't want you to see, which is the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what they're claiming, it, man or woman, regardless of what they're claiming, their walk will tell you everything. And plus, while you're praying over this person, and listening to what God is saying, God will not lead you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be willing to hear and obey.
Obey.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to do that.
That's right. They want this person so bad, like, well, God, I'm just going to override you on this because I feel like this is really the one. And I know I see red flags, but after I marry this person, then I get them to change. Right. That don't work. That don't work.
One thing that my brother told me years ago, he said, whatever that person is doing before you get married, and you think getting married to them is going to change them, whatever they're doing before, they're going to continue to do, because there was nothing to make them stop. Nothing to make it like you allow them to do what they want to do, and then you think because you got married they're supposed to stop. It's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And that's always what a lot of people have, that dream. Mm-hmm. All I need to do is marry him and then it's gonna stop. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's worse.
Marriage is not the cure all. That before that person said I do, they're gonna be the same person after they say I do. So it's definitely not the cure all. People think that, though, like, if I just get married, I'll be okay. But you got to make sure you marry the person that God has said this is the person for you. And like you asked a question, Pastor, will you? Right. You asked a question about, you know, we about how do you see the goals and how you see the values and all that. You definitely got to do a lot of communicating, because dating is collecting data. And so many people have that so mixed up, because they think like dating, we got to go to bed, we got to do this, and we got to do all that. But that's not dating according to God's way. If you're dating according to God's way, you're going to be able to see the things that you need to see. You will be able to have peace in your heart that this is the person that I am destined to marry. You'll be able to see it. But if you're not looking, because some of us, we so in love and we with the outer appearance, we don't see nothing, we don't hear nothing. All we see is a nice looking man or the beautiful woman in the shape and all, that's all we see. But we have to learn how to be led of the Spirit and let God lead us and make sure our discernment is in tip top shape. Because if not, we're gonna miss something. We're gonna.
That is so true. That is so true. Ray, you want to say something else? I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually I want to go back to the movie. And by the way, concerning the movie, I had never seen the movie before. And when make Megan laugh, but when I watched the movie, I was like, what in the world am I watching? You know, I'm like, what in the world am I watching and everything? So when I did see the movie, one of the questions I had is that her family was suspect of him from the beginning, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, and she wasn't. So in a relationship like that, where other families see something or they're suspect. But how would you go about dealing with that? What kind of advice would you give to both the family that are involved and to her and everything? Because he really didn't, you know, besides the cheating part, but, you know, but just talk about a little bit about that, and then I'm going to get back over to Maggie. Okay.
Yeah. Most of the time, you know, like the families are not going to like the person anyway. Yeah. You know, I mean, some of them don't even get a person a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about being centered mm-hmm. in God. If you're centered in God, the guy comes around or the girl, woman comes around, you pray. That's our first thing we should do, but it's the last thing that we do. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing that we should pray. When the person has been introduced, pray over that person and mm-hmm. allow God to open up your eyes to see. But see, a lot of families are not centered in God. Mm-hmm. So that's not, like I said, that'll be the last thing or not even a thought. They mm-hmm. would think about, we just going to judge them because of what we see. You know, but all the time, we don't see everything on the surface. We don't see everything behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take our time and not be in a rush to judge a person. We know, like I said, you don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
You don't judge because you'll miss out on something. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes, you know, how you say you got the diamond in the rough, you know?
Right.
You know, and you can misjudge a person just on appearance, you know?
Right.
And sometimes you do need another set of eyes to be able to look at the situation for you, because sometimes your eyes are so glassed over that you don't see the other person for who they really are. And your friends can see it. Maybe your family can see it, because take it if it's a Christian family, you know, it's a Christian woman with a Christian family, like something just is not right about this person. And you know, us, we in love or whatever, we like, well, you know, I don't see anything. I don't see nothing, you know, and they really seeing that person for who they really are. So what that the daughter, whoever it is, needs to sit down with the family and see exactly what they see, and then they need to go forward to when they're with that person again to see if they can see any of that and look at that person with a different set of eyes, like, okay, I'm gonna look through the spirit and see what I need to see and see if what my parents are saying is true. Because that can bring division against the family when you're so in love with this person, your family don't like that person. But I believe that you can come into agreement and say, okay, my parents see this, and I know my parents love me. So the next time I'm with him or her, you know, I'm just going to, you know, look at them differently and see what I need to see. And definitely going to ask God for some discernment on it, because you really don't want to get caught up in something. Everybody else is saying the same thing about this
person.
But you don't see it because if everybody's saying the same thing about a person, you really need to open your eyes, because something's really going on. Everybody's just not, don't like this person. Everybody's not just talking about this person. It really is something going on. And when you want somebody so bad, you're not going to see it. You're definitely not going to see it.
Pastor Teresa, I figured out how to record it. I just gave you permission to record.
Okay.
Someone, before we go further and before we lose some of our audience on Facebook, Bishop Timothy asked the question, once you engage, do you start over? Which I'm not sure. I asked him for clarity, so I'm waiting to see if he's going to bring
it up. Okay.
Them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. Somebody had asked us before a question about engagement. Once you get engaged, does that mean that you can start having sex? Now, a Christian person asked that question, like, engagement does not mean marriage. And a lot of people do it, but it does not mean marriage. You still have to wait until your wedding night to be one with your spouse.
That's right.
But I'm not sure what that question was about, starting over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting for them to clarify.
I was going to say that communication is a key with the family. You know, they should be sitting down talking to one another regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So then when somebody else comes in, they're introducing this new person, and the family, there should be a communication to let them know what they see and why they see it, you know, and what their concerns are. And it should be where, I'm saying it should be, we know that this is like 75% not taken that way.
Right.
But it should be taken where, okay, my family says something that I need to be looking. Mm-hmm. I need to be paying attention. But most of the time, a person that says there's so much love with this person, which actually is lust with this person, that they don't even want to see. They don't want to lose this person because they feel that like they're acting like this is the last person on earth, but it's not. You know, a guy had told me a long time ago, never take the first thing that's coming across. There's somebody else coming right behind you. And if we allow ourselves to get that mindset, well, this is the last person on earth for me. If I don't get this person, I ain't going to have nobody. Then like, you're fooling yourself.
That's desperate thinking right there. That's desperate. Yeah, even when a person say, you know, I'm getting too old, so I just got to pick somebody. Mm. You know, that's desperation that's speaking. You know, that's how the world thinks.
So, I'm sorry. Bishop Timothy says, do you start over as friends? I guess once you get engaged and you start over as friends, like I'm still trying to figure out what he means by that.
Once you get engaged, you should be moving forward towards setting a date for marriage. You know, your relationship should be moving forward. So many people that get engaged, and then they like, well, we're gonna date for like another 2 or 3 years. But once you get engaged, you should be willing to set a date and move forward. But it doesn't happen like that a lot. You know, if God is showing you this is the person for you, you go forward with that person. You don't have to start over as friends because you've already built that friend relationship. You should be ready to move forward into marriage.
Should have.
Well, with that, I do have a quick question here. So I know that you earlier you was talking about that you shouldn't get married if you're someone that you know someone for 3 months or whatever, didn't jump and get married because you really haven't had time to develop that relationship. So what, your opinion, what is your idea of a safe period for marriage?
Now we got married in 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, that don't happen for everybody though. You gotta let God.
I was gonna say that because I've heard those.
Yeah, you gotta definitely let God lead you. God is saying this is the person. Mm-hmm. Then you move forward. You're not too sure about it, but you just want to get married because you don't want to lose this person, or you feel like, you know, I gotta get married. You know why you're getting married, and know that this is the person that God yoked you to be together. If it's 2 or 3 months, and God said, okay, this is the person, then you obey God. But if you don't know and you're not sure, but you're just doing it, then we say, I always say, go through the seasons with a person. You gotta know a lot about that person before you marry. But if God is in it, God can do anything. He'll send that person your way, and next thing you know, you're getting married. It's been like a whirlwind. So God is in control. But some people just need to wait a little while and they already having issues and all that. And like, we get married, but y'all can't even get along. And you're talking about getting married. No, we need to wait a little while, you know, and build some trust and build your relationship up, and then move forward and see where it's going to go at.
And don't allow your flesh to lead you, because a lot of people allow their flesh to lead them into getting married because they say, well, we got to have sex. We got to have, you know, like, but the flesh is burning.
Mm-hmm.
But flesh, it's only wants to be satisfied for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like, they'll use this game, you know, like trying to wine and dine you and marry you because they're trying to get something from you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they don't want you. They just want what you got. Mm-hmm. And then I got, after you get into the situation, then they're gone. And most relationships are like that. You know, they allow their flesh to lead them, and their flesh say, okay, I done got them now. I can move on now. This is something else. If you notice now, when dealing in a relationship, if you withstand from having sex, you see how long a person will hang around. You'll see how long they will hang around.
Because amen. Amen.
They know. The more and more you say, no, I'm not doing it, until the less and less you're going to see it at first.
Right.
The less and less you'll see.
Now tell Ray about our testimony of how we, on our first date, Bernie got an answer that same night. That's why I say, God, if God is in control and God is leading you, then you know what to do. But if you're not sure, don't be getting mad in those 3 or 4 months. Because, but when God says, this is the one, then you can take it to the bank.
because I was, when I was in the Dayton State, I said I was going to do something different. And said, I always did it my way and I always got the same results. Mm-hmm. I get the same results. So I said, Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you lead and guide me. I'm going to find a wife. I didn't want a girlfriend. I wanted a wife. Mm-hmm. So I let the Lord lead me. So everybody who came around, I prayed over that person. And the Lord would say, nope, that's not the one. Nope, not the one. It would always be, always give me things that person would come out and say what he would do. That would let me know that this is not the one for you. Mm-hmm. So when we met like in a restaurant, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. We would come on, I just come in to get something to eat. And said she was in line. So I saw her, I said, oh, she looked nice. And I said, well, I got to strike up a conversation and whatnot. So so I said, yeah, you've been here before? You know what's on the menu? I didn't know what to say. So I just said that. So she looked around and said, no, I'll just come in here and get something to eat on my way too. And all of a sudden, like we ordered our food. We sat down. And we were talking. I think we was in there like in the afternoon, like almost a little after. I think it was after 2.
Not like
4. About 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed there from that time until the place was closed.
Mm-hmm. And talking.
We just talked the whole evening. The place was closing. They had a live band there. And the band was packing up to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we were the last 2 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we left and whatnot, I was so excited. And I said, but I know. Lord, I'm praying over, because I said, if you say this is not the one for me, I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even gonna let myself get in the way. Mm-hmm. I know I enjoyed it and everything, but if you say no, then I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed, and I'm gonna tell you, when I prayed and I asked God, was this the one or not? By the time I got off my knees, getting ready to get in the bed, the Lord mm-hmm. said, This is the one for you. That she'll make you a great wife.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in the bed. It looked like it caught me in midair. That's how quick the answer came. It caught me in midair.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in the bed. I was so happy. I also think I slept for maybe about an hour and a half that night. But I was, yeah, he said, the search is over.
Mm-hmm.
And this, she'll make you a great wife. And once you heard that, that was it. That was it. And then from that point on, the Lord like just led everything that had to come
mm-hmm.
together. But
yeah.
See, in the beginning, like, you're going to find imposters. Many imposters are going to come because the devil hears it too.
Right.
The devil hears what you're asking God for. So you're going to see imposters. They're going to come up. They're going to look like everything that you're looking for. But don't be moved by what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you see is not real.
That's true.
Everything you see is not real. So pray about everything. Don't because it blew your mind. Pray about it. Believe. Pray about
mm-hmm.
it. You'll be on the safe side when you do. But yes, through God.
God, all things are possible. Because
mm-hmm.
Bernie asked me to marry him. I think we were together about 3 months. He got on his knees and asked me to marry him. I'm like, okay. We both knew that God had...
right.
We both knew by then that God had brought us together. We had spent so much time together praying for each other, speaking the word over each other, going to church together and all that. I mean, we was inseparable. We did everything together. We was together all the time, except for when we were working.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go to his house and go, you know, my house. And we just had the best time. So we knew that it was God. And we didn't know that God had the big picture of what he wanted to do with us together.
Okay.
So marriage is not all about us just being in love and us two together. It's about ministry, and it's about us moving toward our purpose together. That's what it's all about. But a lot of people always say, oh, I married my sweetheart and my soulmate and this and that. But God looked at, like, I put y'all together for a purpose. The enemy gonna be trying to wear you out, but with you two together, y'all can overcome the enemy and go forward and do what I called you to do. So that's what it's all about. Amen.
God is the one who keeps relationships together. He keeps the marriage together. So you gotta keep them first.
Yeah.
You can't put them on the back burner, and then when you get into a bump, you know, you bump into a hole or a bump in the road, and now I'm gonna go get God. No, God has to be the one leading you.
Mm-hmm.
Leading you. Then, like, these things, they won't interfere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everything that comes your way leads you into prayer. It's supposed to. It's a purpose of you staying in communication with mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. So you cannot leave the Father out. You can't do it. You mm-hmm. can't do it. Or that's a recipe for failure right there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. Wow, that's good. Okay. So the Bishop Timothy said, thank you for answering his question.
Oh, did we answer it?
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. So I guess we go. Anything else, Ray, you wanted to add or say?
Yeah, actually, because we have been talking about the walking away when you know that God is not involved. Okay, and I know I'm not the only one that feels. There has been times when that is not easy to do. Because of what you see, and especially with men, because with men we are very visual, mm-hmm. you know. And do you have, and again, I do understand you do not want to disobey the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. God is saying, but in your experience, was it easy in the past to walk away from situations like that, or I guess it's not really easy.
I would say in the beginning, I would say without God, it's not easy. And then with God, if you're not letting God lead you, it becomes difficult. Because we are wired one way mm-hmm. and we respond one way. Mm-hmm. We see something that looks good, yes, our body gonna respond.
Right.
Our body's gonna respond. And the thing is how much attention you give to that.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you feed the most, right?
That's true. Whatever you see the most, that's right. It. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely hard to walk away from a situation with someone that you really love, really was into, and you find out that person is not the one for you, and right, that God right. is saying, you know, I want to take you up higher. You need to walk away from this person. And we hold on and we hold on and we hold on. But sometimes God will have it where he'll have that person to walk away from you. And then you still hurt then, like, okay, God. But God was like, I've been telling you to cut it off. But now I had to get into that person so that person could walk let you away. Go.
Yeah.
So now at 12-1, now you learned You learned your lesson this time. Okay, God, when you say no, you really mean no, God.
You know, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean no. Yeah. It is something else. It's hard to walk away from a person. Remember you were saying about God said don't marry that person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was the situation that I was in. Mm-hmm. I was gonna marry this person. The Lord had told me that, no, don't marry her because she's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, she don't love you, and she's going to leave you if you do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to pray and ask God, you know, to cause him, like, to change his mind.
Change his mind, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm praying hard, and, you know, change his mind about this person. Lord, every time I pray this, I get the same answer. Mm-hmm. Every time. Man. It was never a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. But you know what? I was disobedient. And I did it anyway. And did the Lord's word happen just like he said?
Yeah.
Just like, and I said, I will never disobey him again. Never. Because he showed me before it happened.
Right.
And I went ahead and did it.
And you
thought because I thought I could change God's mind.
Yeah.
You know, but God yeah. said no.
He means no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's funny you say that because I remember a few years back in the church that we were at, one of the young ladies was dating this gentleman, and the pastors told her not to marry. He wanted to marry her, and they told her not to marry him because it was not going to be good.
Mm.
She went ahead, like, she, you know, I guess she did what you did, like prayed and said, you know, God to change his mind or things will get better once we get married. They got married, and oh my God, he took her almost for every dime she had. He was a swindler.
Yeah, that's that potential thing, falling in love.
Yes.
Yeah, he don't really take care of his children. But I know if he have a child by me, he'll be a great father. Mm-hmm. But I can see it in him. So therefore, I'm believing him and I'm going to marry him anyway. But if he's not taking care of his own children, what are you looking at? But you know how our heart can mess us up sometimes because we're not looking through our spiritual eyes. We're looking through our fleshly eyes and we're seeing what we want to see because it makes us feel a certain way, like you said. So we feel like, okay, this feels good to me. And, you know, they'll get themselves together one day. I know this man is still, he's cheating on me every chance he gets, but he's a good man. Every other area in his life is good. So I see the potential in him. So I'm just gonna take a leap.
How does somebody define someone being a good man if they're cheating on you? I don't get that.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't either. Because a lot of women feel like they can change a man. If I be good enough to him, if I pray for him enough, if I give him enough sex and all this and that, you know, I change his mind. He won't want another woman. He'll just want me. But women believe that, but it's not true.
It's not true.
A woman is a woman is a woman.
Okay. And you just be a forever booty call.
Exactly.
With the ring on.
Huh?
With the ring on it. With the ring on it.
Like, come on. Oh my God.
I know.
It's sad though. It's so sad because none of us can change anyone.
Right.
Only God can do the changing. But like Pastor Bernie said, if God said no, then it's no. And he's telling you no for your own good. But we want to hold on to what we see and what we want, not realizing that he has this great big picture and there's better things for us if we just wait and obey him.
That's so good. You don't want to do it. Nobody wants to wait. I want what I want and I want it now.
Yeah, that's
I'm tired of being single. Yeah, I'm tired of being single. I'm trying to sleep in it. But they always say, married people always say, just wait on the Lord. Like, look, y'all got somebody left in the bed every night. And we get in the bed by ourselves. I'm telling you, there were times when I've been married before, too. It ain't all about laying up in the bed. You going
it's
through
not.
So much. You ain't in the bed all the time, for one thing. Yeah, other things that you gotta do with life, but other things come with marriage besides laying up in the bed all the time. You want to be in a marriage that's ordained by God. You don't want to be in a marriage with anybody and just snatching up anybody and saying, I just want a husband, I just want a wife. You want to be with your covenant partner, where you can walk through this life together and grow old together. That's what you want.
Yeah. Ministry together. Yeah.
Ministry together. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like in a relationship where it's just about if I can get him, I can keep him away from everybody else.
Mm.
Meanwhile, it's backfiring and blowing up in your face because every chance they get, they're messing with everybody else.
Yeah.
So that plan is not working.
Mm.
But it's making you frustrated because you can't figure out a way to keep this person.
Yeah.
You gotta figure out. You gotta stop. As they say, just stop for a moment. Stop at that stop sign and say stop. Look, this is not working out for you. This is not for you. Mm-hmm. Because if they cared about you, they wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't use the common sense. But they don't use that. They want to use the flesh, and the flesh, flesh tied up with the emotions, will lead you astray
every time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Some people are having a hard. Why are people telling me they can't get on? I'm not understanding. It's the same link that we all are on tonight.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry. All right. So that's just like I think about when we were younger, you know, and foolish.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, if I give him a baby, he'll stay with me. I'm like, come on.
Oh my gosh. That's true. That's
baby don't thing. Make a man stay.
They make him run for me faster.
or the other option we have said that if I buy her a car and a house, she'll stay with me.
That's true.
She'll stay with me.
Buying her everything and she still break your heart.
Still
break your
Jesus.
That Pastor Megan, you had a question about how to make a marriage or relationship work with cultural differences. Now, my husband and I, we know that all too well because our daughter is married to a Nigerian guy.
Oh.
We see the things that they have to do for each other in order to make their marriage work. You know, she can't be all about I'm American and he can't be all about I'm Nigerian. They got to bring it together so it can work. So she's learning how to cook his food and some of his, she knows, we say, girl, were you born in Nigeria? Because I mean, she can speak the language and she wears the pretty colors and all stuff. Right. And, you know, he's learning how to eat the food that we have and all that. And they're really bringing their culture together. But it wouldn't have worked if, when they first got married, it was a little rocky because they were trying to learn each other's culture. But they both had to realize that, you know, we got to come together and we got to get on the same page. You know, we got to, you know, adapt each other's culture. And that's what they do. They just came from Africa, from Nigeria not too long ago. And, you know, she's just loving it. She's loving it. And he loves, you know, our side of the family and the things that we can teach him and all that. So, you know, you definitely got to be open when you got those cultural differences. They both believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that makes it much better. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart brings them together spiritually and they pray together and all that. So that's how to really make it work, because if you're on two different pages and you're trying to, no, we're not going to raise my kid like my kid going to be named this and all that, because, you know, they're going forward to have a baby, so they already got some names and they're going to put some of his name in it and some of hers. And, you know, they're going to try to bring it all together. And that's what makes it work. They're in agreement. And we know that's how it has to be when you got cultural differences like that. You definitely everything. Even with me and Bernie, I'm a country girl. He's a city guy. So we do things differently. He calls me country sometimes and I say he's a city slicker. And all that, but you know, we know how to bring it together and not put each other down for where, you know, we came from, but to just make it work.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess it balances each other's out.
That's it.
You create a combination of a new culture combined together.
It is beautiful, and we get to benefit from all of that, because when we go over, they got the African music playing, and you know, everybody comes together, all their friends, and Bernie and I, we dancing and everything, and we enjoying the music also. So we loving it too.
I don't know about Nigeria, some of their food are very spicy though. So
very spicy.
Oh, he loves that food.
I love spicy food.
You love? Oh, okay.
It's too spicy for you.
It's even too strong for me, but I love it though.
It's very spicy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let me see. So I think we talked a little bit about it, but if you want to talk about blended families, how to make that work, like if someone is, and it has a lot to do with culture as well, because when you have people from different backgrounds and they decide they want to come together, how do we make that work?
Oh my goodness. And boy, with children involved and stuff, and a child that's a teenager and you ain't my daddy and you don't tell me what to do and all that. You know, I think that's a conversation you definitely got to have before you get married, especially children involved. We got to sit down and we got to talk about what we're going to do, how we're going to discipline the kids. And, you know, it's a lot of talking that you're going to have. You got to go an extra mile besides someone that's just getting married with no children. You got to bring it all together. And you got to have a time where you can sit down with the children if they're old enough and talk about, you know, mom and daddy, we're going to be on one accord. Can't run a deal, so you can't do that. You know, it's a lot involved in it, but it got to be some agreement. It definitely, and the wife is the one bringing the children, she has to eventually give her husband authority over the children. Because a lot of wives are like, no, you can't discipline them. They're not your children. And okay, you trust the man to marry you, but you don't trust him with your children. You know, you got to marry somebody that you can trust with your children. But I know how women can be, you know, that's our baby. But if you're going to, you know, if you're getting married and you're bringing children in, you got to be a big, happy family.
Yeah.
You have to, and you can't let outsiders come in.
And you also have to take the time before you get married. You got to take the time to bring the families together.
You do.
You know, if say that the husband the potential husband has some children, okay, and the potential wife has children. They have to bring them together so they get to know one another. See, and that way you ease the shock. Because if you never bring them together, they'll say, who are these people? You know, so it'd be like a culture shock. So you bring them together so that they'll get a chance to meet one another. They'll get to know one another before before you get married. And you will see how the blendedness comes together more easy. Now it all depends on how much they see one another, because sometimes it's like, okay, they get along real good. And then you might have some cases where they don't get along. So it has to be a slow process.
Can't rush the children.
Don't rush the children, because that's going to have a major effect right there. Don't rush the children.
I think the key thing you said, you know, because a lot of times women, like you said, you know, that's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter. Don't put your hand, don't say anything to them. You know, if there's a problem, let me address it. You know, they take that authority and that control. And here it is, you have a husband who's the head of the household, and you have not given him, you know, you guys have not come to agreement, because I'm only to say give him, because he is the head. So you don't have to give him anything. He is who he is.
Yeah, let him walk in his role.
You have come together in agreement as to how we're going to handle situations when they arise with the children, with our different family members. These are conversations that need to be had, because at the end of the day, it's going to be you two. So you got to be able to agree.
I agree.
On the same page, what if there's the fiance have kids and the husband does too, but what if there's a red flag that they don't get along with the kids? What are some advice for families? Is that a step, a moment that you're like, okay, is this the right one for me? Because that could be bad. That could be chaotic. That could be really chaotic and stuff like that.
Yeah, it can be very, very chaotic. But again, that way a prayer comes in. See, where we don't rush the process, we let the process, play out. Because if we rush it, we'll miss things. Like we're saying about the red flags. Red flags do happen, but we have to be alert to pay attention to them. See, if God hasn't said this is the one to go to. Or the one to be with, then you're going to have all kind of problems. But if God said this is the one to be with, then God's going to bring it together.
He has a plan.
God already has a plan for the couple jobs and him bring it together. The problem is, we try to put it together. God do put it together. And it'll work out better. It may be a slow process, you know, but you got to be patient.
I like what you said, because I believe that sometimes we don't think that red flags will exist. But red flags are there because we're in the flesh. So there's always going to be some form of red flag. But what you said, it basically ties, depends on how we handle it in our prayer life, in our relationship. I mean, as a couple, you know, how do we deal with those red flags that come up in every story so that they won't become our obstacles, so to speak? But yes, thank you for that.
Amen. Yeah, well, as a couple, if you see red flags, that's something you definitely got to sit down and talk about. And then you got to see if these red flags are red flags that I can live with or that I need to live without. And that's what some red flags, you kind of feel like, okay, we can deal with this. But some red flags, you're like, oh, no, this is all for me. I can't do this. You know, you got to definitely know. That's why in a relationship, you got to know where you stand, and you got to know what you're willing to take and what you're not. This is a no-go, or this, like, no, I can't do that. Because some people don't want to marry people that have children. And if you meet somebody that has a child, you might want that person so bad, you're like, okay, I'll do it. But then you know, I don't really like kids like that, so why am I going to marry somebody that has children? You know, but sometimes we let our flesh lead us, and we're like, okay, I can do it. And then you meet that child, like, oh, my goodness.
It's baby's kids.
Remember that movie we saw? And that little boy was talking else, and that man was like, I got to get away from this one, because that's not it right here. But you definitely got to know what you want to take and what you don't, because you don't have to take everything. You're single. So you're not you don't have to jump in there and just take it on. You're like, okay, I look at the situation and I see, but as a couple, you know, we can sit down and we can talk about this and see if this is what, but sometimes you just got to say, okay, I can't do this.
Right, right.
Be mature enough to accept it and move on.
That's
a
key. That is a key. Sure.
Yep. True. Everything ain't for everybody.
That's right. Put on, be grown up.
Yep. Exactly.
Big boy pants.
That's true. Big boy pants.
That's good. This is good. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
I have another question that was posed, and I'm going to ask it. What do you do when there are trust, when a person has trust issues?
That's a big red flag. So why do you have trust issues?
You have to go all the way back to the beginning on that one. Got to go all the way back, and again, if the person has trust you, you got to find out what,
why,
what.
Yeah, what happened.
What happened and where. Because those issues are going to affect every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have the trust issue, like some people say, I can't trust the person as far as I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people will say, I can't trust the person as far as I can throw them. You know, if you can't trust a person to go to the store and come back, and you think like they doing something, then you don't need to be with that person. Mm-hmm. Because you need to get yourself corrected first,
mm-hmm,
before you can get into a relationship with anybody. Because you'll never trust anybody. I don't care who it is. You'll never trust them. So The trust issues have to be addressed. They have to be addressed first before you even get involved yourself with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will destroy any relationship you try to have.
Right.
So how do you do that?
What, when trust issues? We talked about that. We did some coaching a while back with a couple that had trust issues, and we said the person that broke the trust has to be the one that you're accountable now to win that trust back. And if you don't want to do it, then it's not going to work. Like, okay, I'm going to the store, and the person knew that going to the store meant, okay, I'm going to the store, I'll be back, supposed to be back in an hour, but you back in about 4 hours. So that's how you lost the trust. So now when you go to the store, you got to be accountable now. So when I go to the store, I call you when I get to the store. I call you when I get in my car and on my way back. But if that other person that broke the trust don't want to do that,
right,
how can they win that trust that they can't do it? So you have to be an open book now that you have lost that trust in another person, and it has to be won back. But if you don't want to put the work in, it's not going to work. But if you both saying, we're going to work on our relationship, we want to build to get the trust back, then you both got to work. It's a hard road back, but it can happen.
Yeah.
But you got to put the work in. You got to be, you definitely got to, if the trust issue was, you texting people you had no business texting. Now you gotta get your phone up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see who you call. Let me check and this and that. No, you can't check my. Okay, well the trust can't be won back because I'm gonna never be able to trust you if you're still keeping stuff from me.
Right.
But a lot of people do that. They're like, okay, I know I cheated on you. I'm back now, but I don't want to do anything to work on a relationship. You know, I still want to go and do as I please. That relationship is not gonna work because you haven't built the trust back. Once trust is gone, it's a hard road, long road to get it back, but it can come back. But both people, especially the one that committed the whatever was going on, they definitely are the one that's going to have to work 100 times harder to get it back. And most people that broke the trust don't want to work to get it back. They want the other person to do all the work. Like,
right,
they didn't do anything. So you definitely have to, you got to work hard. You got to be accountable. That's the number one word. You got to be accountable when you broke the trust, and you got to win that person's trust back. You got to be an open book. You got to do some calling, checking on them, let them know where you are. I'm here, I'm there, and I don't want to do that. Well, if you don't want to do that, then this is not going to work because you shouldn't have did what you did anyway.
Right.
So now that you've done it, if you want me back, then this is the road we have to go down, and then the trust will come back. So it's gonna be a long road to healing when trust is concerned. You don't ever want to break trust, because because it's hard to get it back.
Yeah. What if you have someone who's dating and having trust issues, like they just met the person and having trust? What advice would you give to that person? Hopefully they listen.
Is that the person that's just dating, just starting to date someone?
Yeah.
Okay. And they just started to date and they have trust issues already?
Yeah.
I mean, or did they come already into a relationship with trust issues?
I think that's a good question. I want to say that they probably came into the relationship with trust issues.
They weren't ready to date.
They're not healed.
Mm-mm. Okay.
So they're not healed, so they have to be healed before they can go into a relationship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we all come into a relationship with some sort of baggage. We all do. Mm-hmm. I know I dragged some and you did too. We both drug a little baggage into our relationship. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, we was willing to work on what we needed to work on. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed a little healing. He needed a little healing. We wasn't broken.
No, I get it.
You know, with this flesh, you're in the flesh and things happen. So when God put two people together, you know, they can heal each other. Mm-hmm. So I knew what he needed. He knew what I needed. And praying and, you know, restoration and all that gets us back on course. But when a person first meets somebody and then there's brokenness already and they're not trusting each other because of a past relationship or whatever. Or even when a person just meet a person and then something happens and they lose the trust in about 3 months, that's a big red flag. That means you need to run. Because it's going to be some more stuff going on if you... Yeah, you know, first getting to know a person that got trust issues already.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get healed, take care of yourself, ask God to heal you, and just stop dating for a while. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear that. No, you don't need to be dating right now. You need to work on you. Mm-hmm. Once you work on you, then you could see a relationship out of different set of lenses then. You know, the way you used to see it when you were broken and unhealed, now you see the relationship different. You know, how did I, always, me and Bernie always talk about, how in the world did we marry the people we were married to? You know, what was wrong with it? You know, so we was in a different season of life then, and choosing people for different reasons, like, I never chose that person. But that's a season that we walked through. But we're different now. We're more mature now. We've grown in God. So now we know who we are. We love ourselves now. So now we know we wouldn't pick anybody that is not going in God like we are, or just at a standstill in life. Those are people that you would pick. But that trust is something else.
It's a big major thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's very major. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Okay. Ray, you
want to
say something?
No, I'm good.
It looks like it's very delicate. The trust thing is so hard to gain back. I mean, you start with it, you build up to the point where you have it, and then when something major happens, they drop it. It takes, you may have been dating for like 6 months, and that trust issue has been damaged so much, it takes a year to probably get halfway back to where you were because of what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's like a healing process that has to happen. But if you're willing to do the work, to work through it together, it can happen. Yeah. But if it happened with both of you, then both of you have to work together to mend it back.
Mm-hmm. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can work though, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Hopefully they were listening and they got the answer. Okay. Ray, you have any more questions? Because that was all the list of questions that I've had.
I don't have any. I mean, I really have enjoyed this.
Me too.
Thing. It's good to see faces. And I get comfortable with the Zoom thing.
Yeah, you did good.
It's a blessing.
And I think what's going on with all of us, God is pressing us forward to do things that we never did before and everything. So it's all good. I want to be obedient to him, you know. And so I just fix myself up, put on a suit and whatever, and go, and and call it a day and stay away from the camera like this. But this is really, really a joy. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor Maggie, friend.
Yeah.
Boy, this is awesome. You know.
Yeah, we're actually going to have them back because there's so much more. Because somebody sent me a link today. I didn't get a chance to go through it, and it was a lot of relationship stuff. And I was like, okay, so we will be having you guys back.
All right. Okay. Yeah. We would love that. Yeah. We love that.
And Ray has a men's thing that he does. So I'm sure he'll be reaching out to you, Pastor Bernie.
Yeah.
I should send you a friend request.
Okay. Do that. Yeah.
We also have one.
This is the season and the time for the people of God to come. But you know, God took us out of the church. The secular took us out of the church.
Yeah.
We go to church. And social media. It's a different platforms is a major thing with ministry because we're reaching people all across the world and stuff like
right.
that. All across the world and stuff. And I'm not going to take up too much more of your time, but when Christian Speak Talk Radio, we have got started like a part about, I say about almost 9 years ago now. Okay. And it started off as a testimony. That's all it was.
Amen.
The God has blessed us. So far. Now, what's going to take place with this? Because I know there was a question about the radio. What we do, and Maggie's going to help me do this. She's going to send me. Maggie, don't look like that. She's going to send me the link or the download so I can upload it to the broadcast. Okay.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be able to play that because normally we do something on Fridays on the broadcast also. So hopefully we should be able to play that within an hour and everything. Okay. So that's another whole list. So what's going to have to take place before you leave? You're going to go ahead and give me your contact information, maybe make sure we get their contact information and everything so people want to reach out to you for settings like that, for radio, for whatever. They can do that, okay?
Okay.
So, all right. And everything.
So, right. God bless y'all.
This
was good. Thank y'all for having us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for accepting. I didn't realize I was still muted. Thank you for accepting. This is much needed. We actually started when did we start? May?
In May, yes.
Yeah. We started in May, and in June we did the two of the five love languages.
Right.
So, okay. We didn't want to rush it, so we this month we did you guys, and then next month we're going to go back into the other three five love languages because it's so much deeper than what you guys know. It's so much deeper.
Yeah.
Sometimes we rush through it and we don't really get the essence of what it really is.
Right.
That's true.
I didn't even know about the love language. What's a love language?
I'm learning new things.
I should have had this when I was married, okay?
Right.
To God be the glory,
Yes, to God be the glory. And we just learn it. Like I said, we're going to have other things that we're going to discuss in regards to relationship because there's so much with the singles that the platform is needed to be able to talk about some of the challenges that and issues that singles go through. Not everybody has, what the Bible says, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ. Not everyone has, they did everything else, but that part they're still struggling with. So these are things that we need to talk about because how do we, how do some of us get to that place, that we said, for God, everything is, for God I live, for God I die. Like, I'm doing this wholeheartedly. I'm not straddling the fence anymore. So those are things that we want to share with them to let them know they can do it. And I know you guys know it because you guys been through it and y'all did it. So y'all can share with, and tell them how we can get to that place where you are today. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot that can be done and we're going to do it. Right, Ray?
Yes, ma'am. Of course.
He's trying to give it to me. I'm not. No, we're not doing it.
I am trying to give it to her.
No. I said I would help. That's it.
Okay, and I'm looking for another co-host so we can get it done.
Amen. Before we log off, I want you to give us like your platforms, your social media platforms, so that when they're listening, they know where they can find you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We have a group called Polish Your Marriage on Facebook, and I have Polish Your Diamond. What's the men's group you have?
I have a men's ministry called Wake Up Men's Ministry.
Oh, okay.
Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. And then we have our ministry page, Holy Transformation Empowerment Center. Amen. Is that what it is?
And then you have your YouTube channel.
Yes, we have our YouTube channel. I forgot about that. It is under Teresa Burroughs.
Okay.
But it's under.
So they can click and subscribe and get all the uploaded videos regarding relationships.
All the uploaded videos.
And you both are author of 3 books.
Yes, we have 3 books. Polish Your Diamond, which is written for women, single women, teaching about worth and value in relationships. Then we have Polish Your Marriage. Polish Your Marriage is we do different chapters on polish your love, polish your communication, and all the different aspects of marriage. And we give some of our story in that, and scriptures, and just some wisdom and essentials on polishing your marriage. And then we have Relatable Relationship Essentials. And that's a book that we wrote for marriage and single. So it has some information in there about dating. You know, we just opened the book. It's some words written big. Just scriptures are in there, plus essentials that you need. Just open it up and say, oh, my gosh, I need to do this. I need to do that. So it's all. And all our books are on Amazon, and we also have some on hand also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we want to thank you again, and I'm going to stop the recording because...
Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is just a reminder. Here's Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray is the first, the second, and the fourth Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Noreena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Clea Fitz Malone, and Esther Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The SS code is 732-499. Amen. Matters of the Heart, Singles Ministry with Pastor Ray Rose and Pastor Maggie Wilson is a new broadcast, and that is every third Friday at 7 p.m. Thank you. And please go and check out our Facebook page, and also check out whenchristianspeak.com to find out more information. Thank you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.